Good morning. Blessed day. Chosen of God. Undefiable. Undeniable. But defined in who He is. Great is the Lord. Great is this day. Great is this day. Great is this day. This is PFC, and we are here on purpose. And our purpose is to seek God, to love Him with all of our hearts, and to walk in the fullness of His Word. To know why you are where you are is really important. To understand what you're going through or going into is very, very important. It's a name. When Adam named the animals, he didn't just give them a title. It wasn't just a name. It was an identity. And God has given us a name. He's given us an identity. And power and authority comes through understanding your name. The Word says He's given us a new name that no one knows except for the Father. But it's by His Spirit that He reveals the identity of why you are where you are, what you are doing where you are, and what is going to take place in doing what you're doing where you are. You can take your seats this morning. Understanding and wisdom and revelation is power. It's authority. It's ability. Now, you can have ability. You can even have power, but without actuating it, without putting it into play, you can be deceived into thinking you may not have power. You can be deceived into thinking that you are weak. You might misunderstand who you are and how important it is to be where you are, when you are. But the Scriptures tell us something, and it's really important to know the Word of God. It's important that you study the Word. The Scriptures say, study to show yourself approved unto God, an individual or a workman that doesn't need or won't be, or Old King James, needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. We read the Scriptures about how we are empowered by the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit comes on us. And power is necessary. God deemed it necessary that we be empowered. So much so that Jesus said, I have to go as you know me today, so you will know me in a way you have not known me. And that's going to give you great advantage in knowing me. And He said that knowledge is going to come to you through the Holy Spirit, and when it comes through you, you're going to be walking in the Genesis of time. Now, He didn't say in the Genesis of time, but that's what He was talking about. In the beginning. Understand, in the beginning, God created. In the beginning, how did He create? And God said, I'm prophesying to you today. I will be prophesying to you through the entire service. And you need to understand that. So let me read something to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And we're going to begin with verse 2, and it says, but the one who prophesies, I'm filling in here, doesn't just say, hey you, hey you, hey you, hey you, this and that and this. The one who prophesies, the word says, speaks to the people for their strengthening, encouraging, comfort, or peace. So again, understanding the identity of prophecy. Prophecy is foretelling. We are PFC, Prophetic Fulfillment Church. We are here to see the body walk in its prophetic fulfillment according to the will and the Word of God. That's who we are. That's what we do. We pull on heaven. We bind in heaven from the earth everything that God has told us to do by His Word, and it's bound in the heavens, which means God literally backs us up and it comes to pass. We release everything from the earth, from the earth, from the earth, by the faith, by the Word of God, by the faith of Christ, by the Word of God, and God backs us up, if you will. Heaven literally bows to the Word of Christ that's in you. But power and authority is something that is really essential. It's necessary. It has to happen, and it has to happen in your life. Or the knowledge you have about Christ is the knowledge of a stranger without a relationship. Have you ever had a stranger walk up to you and ask you for something? Maybe it's $5. Anyone ever had that? And you, how many of you can tend to feel awkward? I'll tell you why you feel awkward. It isn't really because they may be homeless or in need. It's because they are a stranger. They're a stranger. I mean, a family member can walk up and say, "Hey, man, you know, I'm having a rough time. Can you give me $5? And you're like, "Sure, I know you." Relationship engrafts you into the identity of the individual. We need to know God. I wonder how often you pray to a stranger. You ask a stranger for something. Don't you feel odd asking a stranger? You ever run out of gas and maybe you have to go up to someone and say, or your battery, I've done this, your battery dies. Hasn't happened for a while. I have a charger in my car now. But your battery dies. And I'll tell you why I have a charger in my car, because it's awkward to walk up to a stranger and say, "Do you have battery cables? Can you risk ruining your battery to charge mine?" A family member would say, "Absolutely," because there's a relationship there. But to have a powerful connection, to have the confidence to boldly become before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and the favor of God, there has to be a really defined relationship with the one you're asking. And that is most certainly true when you come before the Lord. So we read scriptures like from Isaiah that declares God to be the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The word is just filled with descriptions of the glory and the majesty and the wonder and the beauty of God. But it isn't done so. It isn't in the word just so we look at God and go, "Wow." And so God, as if God were in need of us just telling him how wonderful he is. God knows who he is, and his identity is holy. So as opposed to someone telling you how wonderful you are and how beautiful you look, you know, you may take on that attitude like, "Well, thanks," and walk away with the wrong attitude. God knows that when you call on him and you declare his wonder and his glory, his beauty, when we sing songs of worship and praise to him, it isn't something that is boosting God's ego as if he had one. But it is really God communicating to you who he is, so you know how to have a relationship with who he is. So our adoration, our worship to God, isn't something that God requires from us in order to feel better about himself. But it's so you know how to feel about you. And so you know how to connect and identify with who he is, so he's not a stranger to you. So you have a relationship with the Father. Prophecy is all about having a relationship with the heart of the Father. Having a relationship with God. When you know someone's character, and you know someone, let's say, that they're trustworthy, that they're a very truthful individual, that they are an individual of their word. If someone came to you and said something contradictory to that character, you wouldn't believe it if you knew them well, if you had a good relationship with them, if you had been around them for a while, you would say that cannot be true. No matter what you're saying, that cannot be true. It is a lie. And how would you know that? You weren't there when they said, he said, or she said, or he did, or she did. How would you know that was a lie, if they brought something that was negative or bad about them, said something evil about them, or said they said or did something evil to you, or said something evil about you? You would deny it, you would renounce it, saying it's a lie, because I know the character of this individual. That is not within their character, so it could not be true. It's the same thing with God. To know God is to know the character of God. Religion riddles the character of God with their own thesis of who he is, and that is typically always built based on gain or greed or insecurity or uncertainty. But God gives us security. He gives us certainty. His character is true. Jesus said, "I am the truth." To know me is to know the truth. And to know the truth liberates you. Because everything God thinks about you is true. You may not know what he's thinking about you if you don't know the character and the nature of God. Prophecy reveals the character and the nature and the will of God for your life. Now, sometimes that word may seem very far away from who you think you are. It may seem very distant from who you believe yourself to be. But the Word of God employs your faith in his Word. So James says, count it all joy when your faith is tried, or when you fall into various and sundry different types of the trying of your faith. I love the way James talks about it, because he's not saying, you know, just hold on when times get bad and rough and hard. James is saying, I see something. There is a light here that is beyond the spectrum of the light you may be viewing something through. There's a light of reality. There's a relationship here of the Father that he's wanting to bring you into, because at this moment in time, where you are is really important, and you need to know where you are is where you're supposed to be in order to understand what God wants you to understand, so you can prophetically be empowered. Prophetically be empowered. Which means God has said something about you that requires your faith and belief in what he's saying in order for you to understand. So you can not only comprehend, but you can walk into the identity, the name that you are. And you can obey him. We think about obeying God so we can be blessed. I'm going to obey God so I can be blessed. I'm going to obey God so I am blessed. You don't obey God to get blessed. You obey God because you are blessed. Because if you are blessed because you obey God, then it's on the merit of who you are instead of who he is. It's God's disposition that you are blessed. In the beginning, God created man and woman. The word says, and God created them. And before they could do anything, God did what? He blessed them. God blessed you before you could do anything. God blessed you before you could do anything. God blessed you before you could do anything. Or say it like this, God blessed you before you could mess it up. Barach is the word. And God barached you. Amazingly enough, that word also means kneel. God blessed you to be able to kneel before his will. Because it is in kneeling to his will, you understand you are blessed. Now you're blessed regardless, because God made you, and the design that he made design and purpose similarity. He made you, he designed you. If you design something, you designed it for a purpose. That's why it's called a design. You had an idea of something specific you wanted this thing to be able to do or accomplish. So you designed it for that purpose. You are designed in the power of his image. And you are blessed before you could make a decision whether or not you wanted to be blessed. So nothing that we do, there isn't anything that we do that causes us to be blessed. But when we obey the Word of God, we then understand we are blessed. We don't obey him to be blessed. We obey him because we are blessed, or you couldn't obey him. God made man and he blessed them before they said a word, before they did anything. Then he gave them commission. Then he said, I want you to take dominion. I want you to reign. I want you to rule. I want you to bring the world into its purpose. Rada is the word for dominion. Very interesting word. Doesn't mean to come and just crush and hammer like sometimes churchy people like to do. You need to get saved. You know, it's not about that. That word literally means, and is a connection to blessed, it means that we surrender to subdue the world. He said, take dominion and subdue the world, which is where we're headed. Our world is changing into something God said. And it's happening because the word of the Lord has gone forth. And like the woman with the issue of blood, like blind Bartimaeus, like the Hebrew children, like Abraham, we have begun to believe, and God is trimming what will bear fruit. What is willing to bear fruit, God is trimming. And what refuses to bear fruit, God is uprooting. And it's that simple. Don't make it complicated. Simplicity is the complexity of mankind. Because when it's so simple, we make it so complicated because we have to figure it out in our heads instead of realizing I don't have to because the goodness of God is happening because he blessed me based on his disposition, his attitude, his merit, his greatness, his goodness. Not because of anything I did or didn't do. Now, you may never live in the life of your blessing if you don't kneel to the will of his blessing. Because you won't know it, but it doesn't make you any less blessed because you don't know it. You can be an heir to a great fortune, and if you don't know it, you'll never walk in the power of that fortune, even though it belongs to you. But to be aware of it empowers you. To be aware of it. So simple. To be aware of it. The kingdom of God is at hand. What is it like? A child. What is a child? Just hold me, Dad. Embrace me. Bring me close. He said, seek for me while you can find me. What does that mean? Is he going to go somewhere so you can't? No. While you are mindful to seek me so you will be aware of me. You were blessed because God said so, not because you obeyed him. You were blessed. You were made in his image. Selim. I'm made in the Selim of God. I'm made in the image of God. I'm made in the likeness of God. Now, I really don't know exactly what he looks like, but I know what he looks like by the character and the nature of his word. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Holy One, Eternal God, ever present with you, Love. Love has many characters, many forms. Love isn't just love. Love is kind. That's a form. It's forgiving. That's a form. It isn't condemning. That's another form. You can never box God into a specific category. That's the mind, which is enmity against God because it tries to figure out just like you try to get blessed by obeying God, you're going to find it difficult to be blessed. You're going to find it difficult to obey God because God didn't create us in your image. He created us in his. Selim. You're in my image. You are in my likeness, which means you bear the character of my will. The word says, before the foundation of the world, Christ was, Christ is. There's numerous scriptures. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Same was in the beginning with God. From the foundation of the world, before it, there is Christ to redeem us, to choose us in himself, to live in us, to live through us. Christ is always. He is always with the Father. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The manifold, the triad, the trinity of God's form, his presence, his nature, his will, his word. And you can't get away from it because it fills the whole earth. I never invite God's presence into a place because it's just like being blessed. I was blessed before I knew I was blessed. He is here before I got here. But it is the awareness, revelation, insight, understanding, which is what the word gives you, knowing the word. to know the character of God allows you to have a relationship. And when you have a relationship with someone, you have a greater power. You have a greater connection. You have a greater understanding. It's difficult to be lied to about them when you understand their character. Could be the reverse. Someone could be a miserable liar, not trustworthy. And someone says, oh, whenever he says, you can believe him. Whenever he says he's going to show up, he's going to show up. And you know that's not true. That's any evil in your life. It's not a part of your life. Any evil that may try to approach you. It really can't approach you. Because I know the truth, the character of God. What is that? He'll never leave you. He will never forsake you. Whatever you're going through, whether you deem it good or bad, God is in it deeper than you think. And you're in it deeper than you think. And you don't need to get out of it. You need to get into it. You need to understand what this is for. What is the name of this thing? James says, joy. Count it joy. Say, this is joyful. Then we look at it and we'll say, it doesn't feel joyful. And then you need to say, but you're not created in your image. You're created in the Lamb of God, in His likeness, His character, His nature, His spirit, His power, His identity. And who is that? Christ. And when Christ became a man, the word says the fullness of God dwelt in him in bodily form. Christ has always been. Adam and Eve, Abraham, the word says, Jesus said, they knew me. How? By the word. And his name is called the Word of God. God introduced Christ to Adam and Eve by the word of his power, by the image. What is our image? The Word of God. My image is, your image is, the Word of God. What is the Word of God? It's everything good. What is it? I will for you to be blessed. I will for you to prosper. I will for you to walk in joy. I will for you to walk in wisdom. Now, he's not saying, I want you to get these things. He's saying, these things are a part of who you are. They're within the image that you're created after, my image and my likeness. And what I want you to do, what God said to Adam and Eve, is he said, I want you to take dominion. Rada, I want you to take dominion over the earth. Not to crush it, but I want you to nurture it. Dominion means to take responsibility. Take responsibility and nurture the earth in the image, the word that you're created after, what we do today. I take responsibility. I am called to subdue. It means that I have responsibility. Dominion is literally to subdue it, literally to give it its identity and purpose. Today, your trial has an identity and a purpose. The trying of your faith has an identity and a purpose. And what it's doing is causing the image of God to be born in you. The very nature of how God thinks. That's called the kingdom of God. See how it all just laces and ties itself together. And God blessed them. God blessed them, and they went to their knees. Because I am blessed to know that you called me by my name. I am blessed to know that you chose me. I am blessed. You hit your knees. No, I am blessed of the Lord. I'm not hitting my knees to get favor from God. God has given me his favor through Christ. Christ the image. Christ in the garden. Not as the Redeemer in the way you think, but is in the fullness as the way he always has been. And when he speaks, when God says, he's saying Jesus. He's saying the word. The last time or the first time you'll see him in a way that you've talked about him, you'll see him and you'll see the word of God. And his name is called the Word of God. What is that name? His identity is the Word of God. So God said, why did God say to Adam, name the animals? Because God said, take dominion and subdue it. Give them their identity. Give them their purpose. Show them who they are. How? By the word I have given to you. Today, by the word God has given to you, you should hunger, you should thirst for the word of God. And you should seek the Word of God. You should read the Word of God every day, but you shouldn't read it so you get a job done. You should look for the character of God in His Word. Study to show yourself approved. And if you'll do it, your spirit will begin to take over your mind. It will subdue you, not by hammering you, but by enlightening you. God's dominion and the power to subdue, to bring into subjection, wasn't a force. It was an authority, the power of His image in you. Today, the same. Born of God, redeemed right back into the power of His image. The power of His image is the blessing in your life to drive you to your knees, to worship Him as God and God alone. And there is no force, there is no power, there isn't anything to hold you back. Why do you delay so long in being and doing and understanding who God has called you to be? Why do you delay? Because of excuses. We have too many apartments, too many townhomes, too many summer homes, too many winter homes, too many high-rises, too many hotels to run into, to hide in. I call them places or houses of excuse. What's going wrong? Nothing can go wrong. Well, what are you talking about? You have any idea? No, I'm not talking about what you went through. I'm talking about nothing can go wrong. All things must conform to the image of God in you. They have to. They have no choice if you understand it. Devil has no power over you. We said that so many times. Unless He takes a little bit of yours. Right? How many times have you heard it said? Well, unless you give it to Him. Give Him what? What do you give? What are you giving? What could you possibly give? What power do you have to give to anybody? You have no power to give to anybody other than the power to love. When you deify anything that is evil, when you make it a competitor with God, when you make it a competitor with you, when you deify it, you become an idol worshiper. There is only one God. The Word makes that very clear. Here's the great commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, and love one another like you love yourself. There on this law hang all the law and the prophets and the prophecies. It all hangs right there. There's only one God. Hear, O nations of the earth, the Lord our God is one. He's the only authority. He is the only power. Nothing is going wrong. Something is going very right. That's the word of prophecy. You have to know the nature and the character of God. He doesn't throw you out there on your own and say, do the best you can, sink or swim. We have this rescue mentality of when we get in trouble, God's going to rescue me. What if we took on the mind, I can't get in trouble. I can only get in position. I can't get in trouble. I can only get qualified for the next level of God's glory, for the next understanding, which is endless. We never come to an end. When we think about God, you need to think about Him in the character of nature. Have a relationship with who He is. He is endless, so I can never come to an end. I can never put my finger on it and say, that's God, that's how He is, that's how He's going to act. I can have a relationship and say He's exceeding, abundant, and beyond all I know to ask or think. He excels and exceeds my mind constantly. He constantly keeps me in awe, which is my worship. He has blessed me. Based on His disposition, His nature, His godness. So I am forever blessed. And what I want to do is have a relationship with the one who has blessed me so I know how to live in the power of my blessing. That is living in the image of His power and living in the power of His image. You were created to think like God. You're created to feel like God. And the only way you can do it is the way God told Adam and Eve. He said, I want you to take dominion. And He said, and this is what I'm doing. I'm giving dominion over everything. You have everything you could possibly want. And I'm giving you. God said, let us give them. Let them have. Let them have dominion. Let them have. Which implies you must take. You must receive. Let them have. If I hand you something, a value. You have to open your hand and receive it, or it can drop on the ground right in front of you, and it will not change you or empower you or enlighten you or bless you, even though it is enlightening and powerful and a blessing. You just simply have to receive it. And how do you do it? You cannot be double-minded and one day declare you're blessed and another day declare you're in trouble. The word of the Lord is yes, and in Him, amen. It's an affirmative. It's an absolute. God said, I bless you. And God looked at us, and He said, you're blessed. God blessed you before you had an opportunity to throw it away or mess it up. It was His will to bless you. So you are now and forever blessed, which means you are now and forever under submission to all authority and all power. Not over you, but through you. God told Adam and Eve, here's dominion, here's power, and all you need to do is keep Jesus. Keep my word. Keep the word. Christ is from the beginning to the end. He tells us that. I was there in the beginning, I'm here now, and I'm here in the day that is to come. I am the first, the last, the beginning, the end. He which was, which is, and which is to come. The Almighty, the Holy One. Jesus is always. Jesus didn't just come and show up one day. His Spirit spoke to you in the garden. The Word of God, and God said. And God created in the beginning, and all things were created through who? Him, Jesus. And without Him was not anything created that was made. And God said, here it is. Here's how you walk in the power of this. Not by force. Dominion, subdue, does not mean force and power and hammer and hard and difficult. It means do it by being blessed. Surrender to the authority that God and God alone is Lord and ruler and King and mighty God and Prince of Peace. You'll treat your family differently. You'll treat your spouse differently. You'll treat your employer differently. You'll look at people differently. And you won't be afraid to make the right decision no matter who is around you. No matter who has done what for you. Or who has done what to you. Because the nature of God says, God has put me in a position of authority and power to reign and rule by the spoken word of God, which is literally the identity of Christ. Christ in me, the hope of God's glory being revealed. So God said to Adam and Eve, and He said to you today, because salvation is all about restoration. What does it mean? The way God thought from the beginning, He's never changed His mind. He wants us back in that same position. So I look at the world today as the Garden of Eden. It grew and spread throughout the world. Every place a believer can stand, every place a believer has stepped and believes the word of God, God has given you dominion as though you were in the Garden of Eden to have dominion over all the earth, that the glory of God would clothe you and the governing power of God would administrate through you purpose and assignment to all things. What can your faith believe? God created us as a host of His word so faith could take on a body and display and bear witness to the identity of God through the relationship that He has with you. I am blessed of the Lord. I am subdued by His will. I am overcome by His favor. I am redeemed by the blood of Christ. I am chosen of God. Set apart, consecrated, made the righteousness of God, holy in His presence, not of works, lest any man should boast, it's a gift of God. So what about the trying, the trials, and the difficulties, and the evils? What about them? God has given you the ability to call out purpose. What do we do to overcome the world? We call out its purpose. Call out its purpose. You don't belong here. You belong there. And we do it. Not because it feels right. Not because it looks right. Not because someone is favorable with you in that decision or disfavorable with you, but because it is the knowledge of the Word of God, you have a relationship with the Word, with the Father, and you move it out of the way. That's what Jesus did. He took it out of the way. What? You. Your will, your desires. He did it in the garden. He says, this is the only thing that can stand between you and I. It's you doubting I am. Only thing. And it doesn't change me, God's saying, and it doesn't change who you are created to be. You create a barrier in your mind. You don't hold God back. You can't. But God blessed you, which means He wants His favor to shine on you. It doesn't matter if it's business. You should understand there is no weapon. When we understand how very, very present God, Mighty Counselor, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Perfect Peace, how present He is with us. And we get to know Him based on His character and not religious ideas. Your excuses will divide you between you and God. It will put God over here somewhere and you over there somewhere. You can't worship Him but at a distance until you understand how present He is. And our worship isn't something that God demands from us. Our worship is God's way of saying, get to know me. Know me better. Know me more. We're not worshiping Him like if I worship you, you're going to be happier with me and I'm being obedient in worship and then you're going to bless me. God says, I don't need to bless you. I did that in the beginning. You have an inherent blessing forever and eternity. I eternally blessed you. My word is yes and in me, amen. That means I don't change it. Whether or not you live in the blessing is a decision you make based on your belief in me and faith. Believe my word and you will understand how blessed you are. Doubt it and you will forget how blessed you are. God created, the word says, a tree of life and a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now don't, the great mistake here is identifying the tree of life as the very essence of the fruit keeping an individual alive and what the essence of that fruit is, and the evil tree as though that tree is evil. If that tree was evil, God would have made it ugly. It would have been foreboding. It would have been seemed dark and dreary and mundane, and it would have been stickery, and it would have looked ugly, and the fruit would have looked ugly. But the word says that the tree was a delight to the eye. Why? Because God blessed it. And after God created everything, every animal, every creature, crawling, swimming, flying, walking, every herb in the earth, all the water, everything in the earth, and God blessed it. What does that mean? He caused it to bow to His will and His word. And He said, you, Adam and Eve, are the curators of that will and that word. That's how I'm giving you dominion. Through the word I have spoken to you. Just like when God gives you a word and speaks a word, because it's a trying time, because things aren't going your way, you cannot deny the reality of God's word, which is you are blessed, you are chosen. God will bring to pass His will, and it is His will and His kingdom that reveals how incredibly blessed you are, how highly favored and how looked upon you are with favor. And He makes His light shine on you. Tree of knowledge of good and evil. Here was the good of the tree. And not in within the essence of the tree as a stick and branches and fruit and leaves, but the spirit of the tree. Here is the good. Every time I look at your beauty and look at how great you look and how approachable you are, but I don't. Because God said, that's the good of the tree. Because that empowered them. Because they take took dominion over the desire of their eye. The evil was when they took the fruit. Not that the fruit was evil because God blessed it, but because God said, do not eat of the tree. The command of God is subdue, take dominion by the word and the nature and the character of God, because you are blessed. I have given you all things. You lack nothing. You lack nothing. There may be things you want, material things you want that you don't have, but you can't even say, I don't have peace, because he has given you his peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not like the world gives. It's not something you have to purchase or qualify for or be schooled for. I give you peace. All that you need, all that you crave, you have. Adam and Eve, all that you need, all that you crave, all knowledge is given to you because I blessed you. The power of my image is in you. What is that image? Christ. Who is Christ? The Word. But in the day you eat of it, you'll surely die. Not because the fruit was poison. And not even because they disobeyed God, although they did disobey God. But it is why they disobeyed God. Because they did not bow to God in all things. They did not declare him as all knowledge and all authority and all power. See, the power was to identify the purpose. They should have had they identified the purpose of the tree. That tree looks great. It looks good. It is approachable. It's beautiful. And it's good for fruit, meaning the fruit is good. But God said, don't touch it. This is consecrated to me. Like the Ark of the Covenant, beyond the drape in the temple. Same thing. Don't touch it. It belongs to me. Because if you cannot take dominion over the desire of your flesh, you cannot give purpose to the earth. So when we blame a devil, oh, pastor doesn't like to blame the devil. No, you don't understand. It's far, 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 far more than that. You deify a fallen spirit as a god of authority that contends with you and your purpose. You've made it a god. You've broken the first commandment. We don't live by the commandment, but it is the word of God we live by. God says you're blessed and all things have to work together for good. That's your station. That's where you pick it. That's where you stand. That's where you build. That's where you remain. And then you will see the purpose of God. Their power was to take dominion over the tree. And the only way they had to do it, they didn't have to do anything with the tree. It was to take dominion here. It looks beautiful. It's a beautiful offering unto the Lord in obeying his word. I'm taking dominion over my mind and over my desires so I can never be overcome. See, it wasn't like they lost authority and power in the earth. What they did is they submitted under the will of the earth. Instead of, the word says, ride over, as to put under your authority. Subdue. Take dominion. Bring it under you so you rule over it and give it purpose. That's what we have to do today. We're riding over the world. We're not talking about how bad everything is. You have to see the goodness of the Lord. God looked at all the earth. He knew all the potential in man. He knew all the potential in the serpent. He knew all the potential in the tree. He knew all the potential. But what he did is he said, you're blessed and I've given you everything. Walk in the power of my word. Give every animal its purpose, its understanding. Rule over it. Take responsibility for the power of your image. That's what we need to do today. I'm taking responsibility for the power of my image. You can't give anybody your power. You don't have power to give anybody. But you can walk in the authority of the power God has given you to take dominion over the earth, the mind, the idea, the attitude. You have to do some things like submit yourself, therefore, unto God. You have to. It's not just walking around on a cloud going, he did it and I'm done. No, now it's time, Adam and Eve. It's time to take dominion over the earth. Put your foot where God wants you to be. Stand where God wants you to stand. Get rid. You got to get rid of the bad attitude. You got to overcome it. That was the tree. Get rid of something that says the earth has something to offer you that I haven't already given you. Biggest problem, need. Spells greed. And it destroys the love of money, the love of needing, wanting, getting. From whence come fighting and war among you? Come they not even of your own lusts that war within you? It's always about power and greed. All of it. Every time, all the time. I have to have something I don't have. I need knowledge. I need understanding. I need to figure out why this is going on. No, you don't. You're headed for the tree of knowledge of good and evil. What was the knowledge that they gained from the tree? They knew, they doubted God's word. They rejected Christ, the cornerstone. It's been happening since the garden. He is the word. The word of God. God gave them his word. God spoke Christ to them. He spoke the word to them. And they disobeyed God. They didn't just disobey, they doubted him and looked to the earth to satisfy their desire. It isn't how many things, how many places, how many whatever it is you get. It's being after the right thing. The right thing. The right thing. Are you after the right thing? Seek first the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God. Mind of God. Spirit of God. Heart of God. Who is he? God is love. It isn't that you don't have to do anything. You have to do everything. But it's not I that doeth it, but the Word, the Spirit of Christ that does it in me. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. But we can't convolute it. We can't keep looking and say, if something's happened, God blessed you in some way with something, and then it turned a different way, you say, God has blessed me. Now it's time for me to give that thing its position and its purpose. James says, count it all joy. Get excited when your faith is tried. God's shining his favor on you. He's showing you something. He's telling you how very blessed you are. He's moving you out of where you've been, taking you someplace you've never been. He's showing you something you've never seen. He's going to cause you, empower you with understanding to do what you've never done. Prophecy is all about knowing the character of God, having relationship. It's all about walking in the power of his image. Power of his image, the authority of his mind, the will of his word. I'm so blessed. I'm going to walk in such increase in so many ways that it's going to astound my own mind. I'm seeing the favor of God unfold before me in such lavish ways. He is always present. I'm not worshiping you because I'm trying to get in good with you. I'm worshiping you so I can know you better, so I can know you more. You're a glorious God. I know you're a glorious God. I worship you, glorious God. I'm getting to know you better. My relationship is built upon the foundation of your word. You're telling me who you are, not so I stand there and go, oh, wow, but so I go, oh, wow. Adam and Eve were clothed in, oh, wow. They didn't look at God in the distance. They could hear him walking. They could hear the Spirit of God. He's not a man. I can hear the Spirit of God walking in the garden. You only need knowledge from the word of prophecy. The spirit of prophecy is the revelation. The expression, the identity to know him, Jesus Christ, that I may know you better and more. Paul said, I pray for you continually that the spirit of wisdom and understanding would be given to you, that you may know him better and more, that you may have, that you may take on. Number one, you just got to get in the word. It's so simple. How many times do you have to hear it? Open the word in the morning. I like to read the word before I read any text, any email, any call. I want God's word in my head the very, very, very first thing. I want his word to be the very first thing that my mind entertains. And I've made a practice of that. And I can hear him, and I can know his character. And I don't know the breakdown of every Hebrew and Latin word. But I study continually. I love to study. I just love to study. Because I love to know the heart of God. And I can't study and find it out. But my study is my worship. And when I worship, the Spirit of God says, there's a vessel ready, and the Holy Spirit reveals. You can also study yourself into a coma, where you have all the terms and all the meanings and all the knowledge, but you don't have the heart. That's like a stranger. I know who you are. I know what you do. I know where you live. I know what you work, but I don't know you very well at all. You won't approach a stranger with confidence, but you will your Father. Approach you with confidence. I come before you with confidence because you are Christ, not around me, although you are, not in heaven, although you are, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Without restraint, without consideration, it's time to appoint everyone in their position and stop waiting for the right day. It will never come unless it's today. And fully and completely, without fear, submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Surrender to his will, which is your power. All your ways, acknowledge him. There he is. There he is. There he is. Challenging day, there he is. Great day, there he is. Rainy day, there he is. Hot day, there he is. Things are going great, there he is. Things don't look like they're going great at all. There he is. Things look like they're going, there he is. There he is. There he is. I'm blessed of God. I can't get away from the blessing, but I can refuse to acknowledge it. Barak. Blessed. God blessed me before I could do anything. So I can't do anything to mess it up because I didn't do anything to get it. It's the nature of God, the heart of God, disposition of God, the will of the Father to bless you. You're blessed. Power of David and the authority and the confidence was he just acknowledged his blessing in the Lord and just blessed to God and just blessed to the Lord. He's blessed of God. The centurion soldier, just the confidence in the word. Speak the word only. Your word, the word. Maybe not fully even aware of what he was doing, but still surrendered to committed. Why? Because the man was blessed. He didn't consider himself worthy, but he considered himself blessed. When I say it's done, when you say it's done, you blessed me to fulfill your word in me. God has blessed you to fulfill his word in you. God has blessed you to fulfill his word in you. You can't get away from it. Do it well. Do it well. Live in the power of his image and his likeness. And rule in the world. The world is changing. It's taking on a different identity, a different name, a different nature than you have known. But it remains as God has created it. And when we come into the knowledge of his will, then we come into the identity and of his fellowship. And that's where power is. Adam and Eve, that belongs to God. We have all knowledge from his word. We don't need anything from anyone else or anything else but the word of God. The word of God is my knowledge. that tree would have remained beautiful and blessed and an image of the favor of God and their authority in the garden. It was a good thing. God has put goodness all around you. He's put blessing all around you. He's put favor all around you. The steps of the redeemed, of the righteous, are ordered of the Lord. We delight, and He delights. We delight together in one another. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. My steps are ordered of the Lord. Your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. How favored are you? With that spirit, we take dominion in the earth. It kneels to the power of His image in you. Great is the Lord, and great is God with you. Great is the Lord ever present with you. Great is God's favor at all times. His will, His word, His image, His likeness, His authority, His presence, His spirit, His power, walking in the presence of the Lord. I prophesy to you this entire service because I have identified Him and only Him as ever present, ever power, all authority, all wisdom, all might, God not in need, you not in need, but everything brought together for good. Because you are the called according to His purpose. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Most High God. Blessed be the name of the Mighty Counselor, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The names, the nature, the glory of God is for relationship. That you may know Him better, that you may know Him more. So you come before Him with confidence. Your words are authoritative and powerful. The servant of the centurion soldier came to Jesus. He came with a boldness. When they ripped the roof off of the house where Jesus was, because they couldn't get in through the door, there was a boldness. There is a boldness in you that you may not be aware of, you may not be familiar with. But I know I am blessed. I'm not obeying to get blessed. I am obeying because I am blessed. That takes the weight and the difficulty off of you and puts it right in the hands of the Father who's working through you. And things begin to just fall away that shouldn't be there. God begins to prune the tree. God orchestrates through you. God orchestrates in you. God orchestrates with you. God is ever present in you. God is ever present with you. Adam, take dominion. Take dominion. You're blessed. I'm bowed before the Lord. I'm surrendered to the will of the Father. I can't help but do the will of God. But it's because I believe His word. What is your part? I believe God. I just believe God. He's good all the time, every time. No evil can come nigh me. There is no power that can be offensive to me. There's no power that can hold me back. Make people make bad decisions because they think they have a need. Eve made a bad decision because she thought she had a need she didn't have. You have no need. God is ever present. God is ever powerful. God is ever with us. The Lord works wondrously in us and through us. God is greatly with us. God is ever present. Your firstborn must not only take a seat, a position, but a seat of authority. He must speak on behalf of what God has placed within your hands, within the power that God has given to you. Everything else associated with the future is within His anointing that will bring Him before the great and the wonderful and the powerful and the mighty. In your firstborn, this is the day, the season of your firstborn. Not a signature, not an approval, but a seat of authority declaring, let Him, give Him power of decision making. Let Him speak. Let the Word of God come through Him. His bride is within Him, as Adam's bride was within Him. So it is with your firstborn. This is a time for you, Kalen, to come out and to be bold and to be strong. Take dominion and reign and rule. That position is not a great deal away from you in days or years. It is present in this year and must happen in this year. You must speak. You must give directive. You must be listened to. You must be made to listen to. And your decisions must stand and be strong, because God will speak through you. Hunger as you have never hungered before. Dig deep as you have never dug deep before. Listen as you have not listened before. The Lord knows the still quietness of your heart and your prayers that no one knows. But God has heard, and the Lord will answer you. And there is no shame. There is no fear. There is no weakness. There is only strength in you, as was within Adam. So God has anointed you, Adam, son of God, chosen of the Lord, blessed, affirmed by God. And it will bless the entire organization in every arm that it has. It says David had commissioned Solomon. So commission him, Dad. And let the glory and the power of God be seen in ways that it has not been made visible yet. Unlock it, open it, and let it out. As if the covenant of God, the ark of the Lord, was opened, and the treasures and the word and the branch is seen. So the fruit can bear itself and make itself known on the branch, and God will be glorified. It's time to bloom. This is the greatest season of your life. God orchestrates our steps so divinely. It is the thought that we need something that we do not have that becomes your greatest nemesis. Your opponent is not an exterior one. It is an interior one. And David knew that. So he could stand before a giant and in boldness and confidence say these words to the king, to the warriors, with much more experience, much more affiliated and familiar with warfare, armed. And he could say this: how can you allow this uncircumcised Philistine to defy the armies of God? His words were not, I need a sword and I need a spear and I need a shield and I need a helmet. His words were, you come at me with swords and spears, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. This day you will fall before me, and the armies of God will be enlightened as to who they are and who is with them and who is for them. Show the same courage. I lack nothing, is what David was saying. I don't need anything that you have to give me. King, I don't need what you have. I haven't proven that. I didn't prove it, but I'll tell you what I have proven. The word of the Lord is with me and in my hand. He's given me power to overcome a lion and a bear. I need nothing but the word of the Lord. What David wrote in a trying time was, "The Lord is my shepherd. I do not want for anything. You make me to lie down. You lead me beside quieted waters. You are the restorer of my soul. You lead me in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake." Christ is all through that word from beginning to end. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, see me, seeing you in me. That's a power. It's the greatest day of your life. Give the Lord praise. Everything else will come into position, execute what the word of the Lord was to you. And don't worry about what anyone thinks. Don't even say, don't even think, don't even inquire. Do. Do. And everything will come together quickly. God will rectify. God will position. God will identify. God will determine. And God will bring it to pass. And things will begin to move forward very rapidly. An agreement will come from many sides. When disagreement is out of the center, agreement will come in. Disagreement in the sense of the same spirit, same heart, and same mind. The Lord is for you and not against you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Be courageous. Be strong. In the will of the Lord and the power of God's might in you. Because this is the greatest season and the greatest day of your life. Give the Lord praise. Come on.